Amen. Turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, and everybody ought to give a shout. We're out of chapter 9. Hallelujah! We made it through chapter 9, right? I tell you, I was so excited when I opened my Bible up on Monday morning and began to read chapter 10. I thought, oh, hallelujah. We're just going to read the first 10 verses, believing for a miracle. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear witness them, for I bear them witness that they should have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above, or who will descend into the abyss, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes into righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Amen. Let's pray again. Jesus, I thank you, Lord, for this word. I thank you, Father, that your word is powerful. It is life. Father, we are seeking your wisdom today. We are seeking a change in our lives and in the world in which we live. So God, where do we go? We go to your word, because your word is powerful. It's sharp. It's alive. It has the ability, Lord, to change our hearts and to change the world in which we live. Now, Father, I pray today very specifically that you add your spirit to your word to bring it alive to our hearts. That revelation knowledge would flow in this place like water. God, it would just bring the glory of God down today. And God, I pray today, Lord, that miracles would happen in the house, God. That you would touch hearts and change lives, God. All for your glory, Father. Lord, we are not trying to build a church, Lord. We are trying to build the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray, God, for a mighty move of your spirit today. Lord, let your words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. For you are my rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I just happened to look back and saw Elvis and Tammy, and it's good to see you in the house today, guys. Bless the Lord. Amen. I know that took real effort to get here, and I pray that this is the day that God is going to touch your life. Amen. So, Paul, I know that when you read this scripture, you're probably not thinking, believing for a miracle, and I don't know why I went in that direction other than I believe the Holy Spirit led me there. And so we will discuss a couple of things. I'm going to go through the scriptures and try to adequately teach you what the scripture is saying. But I want you to also get what I feel like the Spirit is saying today in the house, okay? So Paul's very first thing he says is, "My heart's desire." He starts chapter 10 the very same way he started chapter 9. "My heart's desire is to see my brethren saved." I want to see the Jewish people come to know Jesus. And when I read that, I think the one thing that I get out of that is, why are we not praying for our countrymen? Why is it not grieving our hearts like it grieved Paul's heart that America is losing out from salvation? We are moving away from Christ, not towards him. You know, I told my Sunday school class this morning, I said, you know, we think this thing with Putin and Ukraine is just strictly a power grab. But until you find this fact out, did you know the Ukraine has more Christians than any other nation in Europe? It sends more missionaries out of Europe than any other nation. We have many, many, many brothers and sisters in the Ukraine. Now, you can think that's purely a grab for power, or you can see Satan behind this thing. And see, if you see Satan behind it, then we know how to pray. Right? We come against forces of darkness, right? Come on, Putin's just a man. God is greater. Folks, it ought to drive us to our knees praying for the lost. Not just your children, but other people's children, other people, people that you work with, people that you shop with, people that you walk down the streets with. I want you to understand, if they don't know Jesus, they're going to hell. Boy, that's solemn, right? Paul said a couple of things about him. He said they have a zeal but no knowledge. That reminds me of the Pentecostal church. We had lots of zeal but very little knowledge, right? I'm thankful that knowledge, you know, I always felt like as a kid that there was sort of a sign on the door that I never saw that said, check your brain here. It's purely by spirit and faith. That's not true. God wants you to use your brain. God wants to combine faith and your power of thinking, right? Zeal is wonderful, but let's have zeal and knowledge, right? So let's combine those two because they will be powerful. He said they're ignorant of God's righteousness. What does he mean there? He means they are trying to accomplish righteousness on their own. Come on, let's go back to the Pentecostal church, which is the way I was raised. Buddy, you couldn't cut your hair. Well, you men could. There were so many rules in the Pentecostal church. Why? And I don't think you Baptists was a whole far lot behind us. I couldn't go to any school dance, and the only people that I could find refuge in is the Church of Christ. They wouldn't go either. I always liked them for that moment. Do you realize it's not about rules? You cannot be good enough to be righteous in God's sight. But haven't we tried? Oh, you got to look this way. You got to dress this way. You got to talk this way. We have so much Christianese in the body of Christ, the people on the street don't even understand us. Well, you got to be sanctified, glory to God. And they're like, what is that? Come on, could we just get real for a moment and say, I need Jesus. And it's not by works. It is not by being good. Come on, I know some of you out there. Some of you should have shouted on that one. You cannot be good enough to be righteous. It is a gift of God. Thank you, Lord. That's exactly right. I tried being good, didn't you? How'd you do with it? Did you make it a day? Good is overrated. Saved is where it's at. Right? Now, please hear me. I believe Christians ought to be good. I believe that we ought to move towards righteousness. We ought to try to work things out of our hearts. You know, I'm not into this thing saying, well, I can't be righteous, so I might as well just do everything I can. No, no, no. You're going to split hell wide open is what you're going to do. You know, God gave you a brain, now let's use it, right? But we are made righteous. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, one of my favorite scriptures. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, I'm the way. Isn't that something? Have you ever thought about Jesus saying, I am the way to righteousness? You can't find it in doing good. You can't find it in the blood of animals. And all the stuff that you have been raised to do, you will not be righteous. What does righteousness mean? It means being made right. It suggests conformity to the revealed will of God. Jesus makes us righteous. So we don't do it in ourselves. Now, in saying that, I'm going to seem like I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth for just a second. But Romans 6:13 says, "And do not present your members as righteousness as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being made alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." Christ makes you righteous. He took your sin and he gave you his righteousness. But now he tells you, as a believer, he tells you, now don't present yourself as members of unrighteousness. Is that pretty clear to you? Does it matter how you live? Absolutely. The main thing, the main statement here that I found is this. He says, Christ is the end of the law. Hallelujah. See, I don't think we have a lot of revelation on this, or else you would have shouted. Let me say this, because I think this means a whole lot. He is not saying that he is the termination, but the culmination. That's really important. You might want to write that in your Bible. Not the termination of the law, the culmination. So you remember the last three words he spoke on the cross? It is finished. It is paid for. It is complete. Right? The blood of Jesus is what makes us right. Thank the Lord. He is the end of the law. In Matthew chapter 5:17, Jesus said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, I come to fulfill it." And he did. You ever wonder why we're still not offering animals? It's because there's been one sacrifice made. The blood of an animal could cover the sin. It could not remove it. When Jesus took his blood to the mercy seat, he removed our sin. Aren't you thankful? Hallelujah. Do you know when God looks at you, he doesn't see sin? And then he uses the word that we must believe. He says, you must believe. And the word believe to us is like just something that happens in your head. It's a mental assent. Yes, I agree with that. But the word believe to the Jew written in the Greek was more than just a mental agreement. It was a mental agreement that also included obedience. If I believe, I will do it. That is good, because that's where many Christians drop the ball. It's where many people on the streets, when you say, "Are you a Christian?" they say, "Yeah, I believe in Jesus." Well, the Bible says, so does the demons. They believe and they tremble. I think this is a scary thought, but I believe there's a lot of people that are in church every Sunday morning that's going to go to hell. I met a young man this week, one of Dale's friends, and he came in, and man, I love talking to this guy. He went to the men's encounter. This guy's been raised in a religious setting, good mom and dad. And he told me this. He said, "I had Jesus here. I believed in Jesus, but I didn't have him here. I had all kinds of knowledge on Jesus, but I didn't have faith." Buddy, I'm going to tell you, that sort of rocked my world. This young man, who's probably in his young 30s, he went to men's encounter, which we're encouraging every man to try to get to that, and he found Jesus. Can I say this? He did not find religion. He knew religion. He found a relationship with Christ. And you could see it all over his face because the joy of the Lord was there. Do you get this? It went from being, "Yes, I know that he is the Son of God," to, "Yes, I believe that he is the Son of God and he died for my sins and he is coming back one day." Right? I tell you what, belief that doesn't change your actions is just cheap words. So he says this. He said, the word is near you. And the word of God has to be in two places, in your heart and in your mouth. Isn't this interesting? He said, but the word, he said, faith speaks. And then he says, don't say this. Don't say that you're going to bring Christ down or you're going to bring Christ up. It's not about that, right? But you do, I want you to get this. Faith speaks. I'm not making myself clear. Faith doesn't try to speak. Faith speaks. See, if you think you're a failure, I don't have to ask you if you think you're a failure. You're going to tell me that. Why? Because you open your mouth and your heart falls out. You speak your faith. We've got to change that. Now, you're not ever going to change the fact that you're going to speak your faith. What we got to do is change. Make sure that the word of God is in our hearts and is coming out of our mouth. Have you ever listened to yourself speak? Seriously. It may surprise you. I cannot tell you how many people I have prayed to be healed and them tell you, doctor's not giving me a good report. I think this one's going to take me out. You just killed my prayer. Why? Because your faith is important if I'm praying for you. Now, Pastor Art used to say you got to fake it till you make it. I don't believe that. Because I think it sends the wrong message. When you say something like that, is when you come up with this notion, blab it and grab it. Whatever you speak, you got. That's not true. Thank God it's not true. This toe is killing me. Do you realize how much we say that? We speak death all the time over ourselves. So thank God we don't get everything. But that's why we have got to begin to put the word of God in our hearts so that when we open our mouths, it's not my theology, it's God's theology. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. Do you know what that double edge is? When Jesus spoke it and when you speak it. It's just as powerful when it comes out of your mouth as when it comes out of Christ's mouth. It's the word of God that he said, God watches over his word to perform it. Folks, you did not come to this church to hear my philosophy. You didn't come to hear my stories. And I got some pretty good ones. You come to hear the word of God. Why? It's the only thing that changes us. It brings life. A preacher's philosophies is just filler. And most of the time, not godly. He says this. He said that you got to speak and you got to confess. You know what we change that to being? If you want to get saved, you got to confess your sin. I thought about asking Dave Kelly if he'd write all of his sins down, and he come in with this book right here. No, have you ever thought about that? When a preacher told you to confess your sins, I'm thinking, I'll be here all day. Right? That is not what that is saying. See, if you go back to the Greek and you look up the word confess, you're going to see something. You're going to see this word, homologios. Homo meaning same. We know that, right? What's logios mean? Logo is the word. See, he's not telling you confess your sin. He's telling you confess the word. Confess the word. say what God is saying, not what you think. And that's why Jesus could say this. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Man, that's a bold claim, isn't it? If my words, the biggest word in the English language is that two-letter word, if. If my word abides in you, tabernacles in you, and if you abide in me, it means not visit me occasionally, but every day of your life, you're abiding in my presence, in my counsel. You'll ask what you will, and it'll be done. Have you ever thought about that? You ever thought about that verse that says, where God says, I will give you the desires of your heart? You know how he can say that? It's because when he has your heart, he changes your desires. And all of a sudden, your desires for money and things are not important anymore. Your desires for him is what counts. We have got to begin to say what the Word of God is saying. And you know what he said? He said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, what? That God raised him from the dead. The power of God is not that he died on the cross. It's in the resurrection. Do you know, Gary Habernass was a man who went to college and I think he got his doctorate, and he wrote a paper. His thesis was on whether Jesus really lived or not. He come down to these five things, and some expanded it to 12. But he says, without a shadow of doubt, he did over 2,500 documents he studied in three different languages. And he come up what they call, I think, these minimal facts. Number one, Jesus Christ really did live. Now, listen to me for a second. It does not take faith to believe that Jesus lived. You're a fool if you don't believe it. It's documented proof that there really was a man named Jesus. Now, you don't have to believe all the other stuff, but you got to believe that he really was here. There's more evidence to believe that Jesus was here than Shakespeare. Jesus really did die on the cross. That's just a documented fact. It doesn't take faith to believe that. You know what we can't prove? Is that he rose from the tomb. Now, do we believe it? Absolutely. Do you know Jesus could have done that in pure daylight where everybody saw that? But then it wouldn't take faith. Jesus said, you got to believe. Believe in your heart. Confess with your mouth. What are we confessing? That Jesus rose from the dead. That is the power of God that changes our life, is the resurrection. Thank God for him dying on the cross. Man, am I grateful for that. Right? But it's the fact that he rose out of that tomb and now he resides at the right hand of the Father. And that is what we confess. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe that he died on the cross for my sin. But on the third day, I believe that he rose again for each one of us. And let me tell you another thing I believe. I believe that he's coming back again for a church. Hallelujah. Let's get our faith and our mouth aligned. Are you getting that? They've got to be together. I wanted to tell you a story from the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 4. It's a story of Elisha and a Shunammite woman. The Shunammite woman was a very affluent woman, had means. And Elisha would go to their town and you know, they didn't have a Days Inn or a Holiday Inn back those days. So this Shunammite woman had a desire to provide for Elisha. She recognized that he was a man of God. She asked her husband, she said, I think that we should build a room on our house so that when Elisha comes to town, he has a place to stay. They built that room and they put a bed and a table in there and they provided his meals. And it touched Elisha. It made, you know, made his way a little easier. So every day, every time that he would go through that town, he would stay with that Shunammite woman and her husband. And he asked her one day, he said, what do you need? I just want to pray for you. Come on. I'm so sick of that saying that God gives you your needs, but he won't give you your wants. I don't know about you, but as a dad, I didn't just take care of my kids' needs. If I could get them what they wanted, I did. I wanted to bless them. Elisha says, what do you want? What are you needing? What can I do? What can I ask the Lord to bless you with? And she said, I don't really need anything. And Gehazi, which was the servant of Elisha, he spoke up and he said, she doesn't have a son. She doesn't have an heir. And Elisha looked at her and he said, next time I come through here about a year from now, he said, you're going to be holding your baby. Now this is the Kelleher rendition. Don't you be telling me that. Unless you know what you're talking about, don't tell me that. Don't get my hopes up, right? Is this the word or is this you? Is this God? He said, I'm telling you, you're going to have a child. She did. Bless the Lord. And that's not the end of the story. This child grew up. He's somewhere, I don't know, maybe 9, 10, 11, 12, somewhere through there. And he's working in the fields with his dad. And all of a sudden he says, scripture says, he says, my head, my head. Most scholars believe that he had an aneurysm in his head, and he died. And the scripture says pretty specifically three times, I believe, that he was dead. And so dad, being like any good husband, said, take that boy to his mom. She'll know what to do. And so he comes in, and they laid him in the mama's arms, and I think that's the first time scripture says he's dead. And the mom says, Go to my husband, tell him to get me a servant and a donkey. She's going for the man of God. Where do you go when your life falls apart? You better know the end of that story. You better be going to God. She went to, on her way to the man of God, and she sees somebody, and she lays the boy up in his room. She takes the boy, tells the servant, take him up and lay him on the prophet's bed. I think that's the second place where it says he was dead. She gets on that donkey and she heads out, and somebody stops her and she says, is everything okay? Faith has to be in your heart and in your mouth. And she said these three words, it is well. Oh, buddy. Can we just talk for a second? Was she lying? Isn't that what people tell you today? When you make a statement of faith, somebody will say, you're lying. No, you're not. You're speaking a higher truth than what you feel. Now, this lady was a mama. You get this? There's not a mama in this place that if your child died in your arms, you would naturally say, it's okay. No, sir. But faith came out of her mouth. She said, it is well. Why? Because I'm headed to see the man of God. She gets to the man of God, and Gehazi greets her and says, what are you doing here? He could tell something was up. Is everything okay? Second time, it is well. She gets to the prophet. She crumbles at his feet. She doesn't kneel. She falls. You ever been there? When life has just been so hard, you didn't have the strength to stand any longer. You finally get to where you're going and all your strength is just depleted. He looks at her, and Gehazi is getting ready to move her out because she shouldn't be that close to the man of God. Elisha looks and says, stop, leave her alone. He said, what's happened? She tells him the story. He takes his staff, which represented the power of God, gives it to Gehazi, and says, go to her house, slay this on that boy. He did that, and nothing happened. Finally, the prophet, the man of God, comes in, goes upstairs to where that boy is laying. The Bible is so specific on this. It says he lays on top of that boy. He puts his hand on his hand. He puts his nose on his nose. He puts his mouth on his mouth. He lays right on top of that boy. And all of a sudden, that boy starts to warm up. Can you think about how many hours it's been that kid's been dead? All of a sudden, blood flow begins to... Man of God gets up. I'm just seeing him walking around the room, just praying, asking God, what do we do next? What am I do? Second time, he gets back on that boy in the same position. And all of a sudden, that boy sneezed seven times. Seven is the number of completion. He said, let's get up and go see Mama. Kelleher rendition. When the Word of God is in your heart and starts coming out of your mouth, things change. Say, what does that have to do with Romans chapter 10? I think God wants to do some miracles in this place. And I'm going to encourage you, don't speak about what you feel. Don't tell me what's going on in the natural. Let's look at a different dimension today. Am I making sense? I'm saying let's put our eyes on Jesus. Let's quit saying what we have and let's start confessing what we believe. You got some prodigals in your life? What if we start calling them men of God? Women of God? You got some bills you can't pay? Do you know you serve the God that owns the cattle on 1,000 hills? Do you know God's not broke? I was talking to the Presbyterian minister this week as I was visiting Arthur, and said something about a miracle. I told Arthur I'm here to believe for a miracle. And the Presbyterian minister looked at me. He said, I don't believe in miracles. I just almost slapped him. But I just hesitated for a moment. And he said, I don't believe in them. I'm dependent upon them. I thought, there's a man of faith. Folks, that's why I started off today asking you this question. What did you expect to receive when you come in this house today? See, I find too many times we come expecting nothing and we leave it getting nothing. Now, the Lord showed me when I first started preaching to study, but then to pray twice as much as I've studied. And I have prayed a lot over this sermon. And I have seen certain faces that I know you're supposed to be in this altar believing God. I don't know what you're believing Him for, but I can tell you I've seen you. Every time I hit my knees in prayer, I've seen your face. I won't tell you who that is. All I'm going to say, if you need a miracle, I'm going to ask you to come up here. Stand around this pulpit for a few minutes. I'm going to ask my deacons to start praying for you. We're going to try to get somebody's hands on you. Why? Because we believe in the prayer of agreement. We're going to agree with you. We may not even ask you what you're believing God for, because it's really none of our business. But we're going to pray that God has His perfect will in your life. Some of you have been dealing with sickness for a long time. The Bible says that our God came to forgive us of all of our sins and heal us of all of our diseases. Bless God. You won't say amen, I will. Amen, Pastor. That's good. Thank you very much. He says, look unto Jesus. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, if you're coming up here saying, Eric, I need you to pray for me, you're seeking the wrong source. I can do nothing. All I can do is pray. And when I pray, I'm just saying, Jesus, it's all You. It's all You. Would you stand with me? Do you know if at the end of that story, you know what that Shunammite woman said to Elisha? Did you ever read it? Did you ever read that story? Here's what she said. Now I know you're a man of God. Wow. He'd done all these great things, but then is when she knew that he was the Son of God. I got just a couple of statements for you. Sometimes you have to do something different and speak something different to receive something different. If you keep doing the same old thing, you're going to keep getting the results that you always have. We must know where to get our help. Psalms 121:1 says our help is from the Lord. Don't be blinded by negativity. If your neighbor just looked over at you and said, I don't believe that, you say, and I don't believe you. I'm not listening to you. I'm going to listen to God. Don't let negativity get in your heart. This is not a positive belief. This is a belief in the Word of God. Faith is not faith until you do something. Sometimes you've got to act on your faith. Do you know the word gospel? The first two words, the first two letters in gospel is go. Go, which is what we're doing March 12th. Shut the door on doubt. I read this statement by Tommy Barnett. I thought this was wonderful. He says, many miracles are stillborn because someone allowed doubt in the delivery room. Now, I promise you, when you start praying for something, for God to do a miracle in your life, I promise you, the devil will tell you that ain't going to happen. He will bring doubt into your life and into your mind. And that's when you've got to get a backbone. And you might have to get just a little mouthy with the devil and say, shut up. You are a liar and the father of all lies. And I am not listening to you any longer. Maybe the devil is telling you your best days are over. Let me tell you, as long as you're drawing breath, good days are coming. You will not die, but you will live and proclaim the glory of God. Man, I love that verse. I'm not planning on checking out anytime soon. Are you? I want to live and let him live through me. You finally get wise enough to know what you're doing, and then the devil tries to take you out. Bless God, if you're 75 or 80 or 90, live for God. Show these young people how to live it. We need you. Don't put limitations on God's ability. Don't tell God how he has to do it. Just tell God, my eyes are on you. Would you come forward if you need a miracle? I'm calling you forward right now. Just come and stand. If you're visiting here today, you are more than welcome to join us in this altar. It's not about being a member of Ridge of Hope. We really don't put that much authority in that. We are the ecclesia, the body of Christ, the called out ones. Folks, all week I've been praying, God, I'm believing for miracles today. I'm believing for miracles. I want to see the hand of God. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that it talks about the working of miracles. That's exactly what you're doing right now. You're working a miracle. See, just the fact that you have stepped forward today is telling God, I believe. I believe. I don't care what the doctor says. I don't care what the man of influence in your life says. I don't care what anybody says. What matters is what he says. Nothing is impossible to him who believes. Are you a believer today? I believe that he can change our life and change our world. You know, I believe that God can move upon the heart of Putin to say, you know what? I don't know why I'm doing. I don't know why I'm even here. God could change that heart and tell him to go home. And it could be over as fast as it started. If the church would pray.
if God's people would quit watching Fox News and start praying. That was free, by the way. Not in the notes, I promise you. Deacons, wave at me. Guys, I want you to come on up here. I want you to just move through this congregation. Just move. Just walk. Get the oil if you want to. If there's anybody else here that just really feels like I'm supposed to pray for someone, Dale, feel free. Just start praying for each other. Let's pray. Jesus, we come before you right now. Lord, I have delivered my heart to these people. God, I have delivered the message that you put in my heart, God. Lord, my eyes are looking to you. You are the author and the finisher of my faith. God, I pray, Lord, that faith would be in my heart and in my mouth. God, I pray that I would confess the word of God, that I would believe in the resurrection. It's the resurrection of Christ that brings the power of God. God, I thank you, Lord, that you have raised others from the dead. I thank you, Father, that you heal cancer, that you restore marriages. God, that you are able. Lord, you are the blind eye opener, Lord. You are the deaf ear unstopper. God, I thank you, Lord. There's no sickness that you cannot heal. God, you can take a situation that looks bleak, Lord, that we find no hope in, and you can change the situation. God, I give you the situation. I give you my finances. I give you my health. I ask you, Lord, to touch, make it whole, make it right. Touch these people in Jesus' name. Let the power of God flow in this place. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I pray for my brother Will, Lord. Lord, that you touch that head, Lord. That you drive everything out, Father. That you shrink that tumor in Jesus' name. I speak to cancer and I say, be gone. Be gone. Not by Eric's name, not by Eric's power, but